Okay, so again, we will be seeing, I mean, the story of Jonah is not that big. It's not that long, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not even, the chapters are not that long either. But we will be looking at these from a lot of different angles. And so in some ways, we will, and I've already told you this, and probably said it every time, but we'll be covering some of the same material, but with some new angles and stuff like that. And frankly, as I've been thinking about this, I kind of liked it going this way, because I'm repeating certain fundamentals over and over, which I will do now. And those fundamentals, I mean, if you know, a lot of times we hit that and then we move on and we go and da 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 like that, and then we kind of lose the fundamental. So I'm kind of thankful for the way this is going. Okay, so just an introduction, which we've heard similar. So Jonah's glorious God-given ministry was to give the most powerful nation in the world a message they would not like. It is one thing to preach negative things to God's own people, but quite another to rebuke people who only have heathen ways implanted in their culture and in their minds, and I thought also implanted in their attitudes and their reactions, their heathen reactions, which means get this. So Jonah was apprehensive about this task because there was always the possibility that in carrying out his mission, it might anger Nineveh and they would bring down their rage upon himself and on the nation of Israel. So that's a real possibility. Let me tell you, Assyria, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, and Assyria was the strongest nation in the known world at that time, and they were constantly attacking other nations and bringing them into their thing and all that kind of stuff. And there's always this, you know, so it's not beyond, you know, imagination to think that quite possibly they, if they didn't like the message, well, let's put it this way, if they didn't like the message, they might get upset. Well, let's see. Yeah, let me see. Is that possible in Christianity? You know, I don't like that message you preach. Okay, but it's true. It's true. But in that case, they may not just send a great army to go to Jerusalem and say, we need to talk to Jonah, you know, and take him out and do something. It'd be more likely that they would come to Jerusalem and just overrun the whole thing and kill everybody. So this is dangerous. It's scary. And it's, you know, a lot of fears and doubts can run in your mind over those kind of things. So, Jonah, let's say he was apprehensive about this task because there was always the possibility that in carrying out his mission, it might anger Nineveh and they might bring down their rage on him and his country, Israel. There's also a good chance that any in Israel who learned of Jonah's mission would look upon it negatively. Okay, so we have a lot of precedent for that being the case. We have Jeremiah, we have Isaiah, we have a lot of the prophets where either the kings didn't like what they were saying, or the priests didn't like what they're saying, or the princes didn't like what they were saying, or the king didn't like it, the priest didn't like it, and the prince the princes did like it. Anybody remember that? Yeah, that's right. So thank God somebody liked it, and that really saved him. I mean, really, at that time. So so there would be those who would look upon his mission negatively. Surely they would try to persuade him not to do it. Before he ran from the Lord, some might have already gotten angry with the prophet over his intended mission to carry out his calling. Because, you know, I've been at this a few years, and I've been with groups, and I have ministered in a lot of places, just a lot of places. And I've seen ministers that maybe were invited with us who would form their message to be, you know, very pleasing, you know. And I remember one time we were down in the Amazon, and to get where we preached, we had to fly in over the rainforest, and we flew for hours. And the place we went to, there was no roads in there. You had to fly in there. And then when we got there, we got on a little boat and went up the Amazon to this group of natives up there. And we'd brought a couple of pastors from other churches. And one of them got up there and preached on leadership skills. That was his message. Leadership skills. You know. And I'm looking at the people, I'm thinking, you know, somebody's going to go, you know, you know, I don't know. I mean, that just, you know, I'm going, they're just sitting there going, what is he talking about? We just want the Lord, you know. But I've also been in places where, you know, you would feel the pressure of certain things. For example, if you were invited in and they're all preaching stuff like this, and then you're going to preach the cross, and I have felt pressure to change my message. I didn't, but I felt the pressure. I know what it feels like, because you're worried about people. You're worried about, you know, how that, how you're going to appear. Really, that's more about how you're going to appear. You know, you mold it so that you look more whatever. So before he ran from the Lord, some might have already gotten angry with the prophet over his intended mission to carry out his calling. They would have tried to convince him to cease on the grounds that his ministry could not be of God. And if it was, why was no one else involved in such a ministry? Okay. Now, you tell me if this isn't a real thing, that many of you, if not all of you, when you came to New Creation, you'd never heard Christ and Him crucified like what we preach here. Never heard. So there would be a real reason for an outsider to come in and go, what the heck is this? This can't be right. Why, if it's right, why have I not heard this somewhere else? Right? What? Yeah. Well, I ask it when the Lord said it to me. I mean, some of you may remember, I went to Bible school and I didn't want to go to the mission field because it was hard work and you'd have to stay there and sweat and die and all this kind of stuff. I wanted to be a famous evangelist. And really, to be honest with you, it's because I had been with Kenneth Copeland for a little while, and he wore very expensive suits, and he had big, you know, bunches of people that would come and everything. And I thought, well, this is, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, this is the way to go, you know. And And then I went from there to Berean, and, you know, that was when that's the stuff I was rebuking them over. Only to find out that that was the truth. That was the truth. Wow. So, and many more different types of stories along this line. I've failed in certain areas. I've been confronted with all kind of stuff, and you know, so I know the opposite side of that. So they probably looked upon Jonah as wayward and deceived. Okay, so that's nobody. I don't know who's trying to get through to me here. Okay, good. I'm on Chicken Defenders. And the whole world is going to be, this is our family line. I think Evangeline made that name up. What? We stand firm to defend the chicken. What? Anyway, everybody jumps on and they just keep texting for days, and, you know. But they probably looked upon Jonah as wayward and deceived. So you can be invited even to a place that preaches a similar message, preach the cross or something like that. I mean, you can. And you can share something that the Lord showed to you, and maybe they haven't seen that. So it's like, I mean, I have seen, with Bible school students, I've seen a whole lot of them just like, just hear something they've never heard before, and just, they just, it's like, this can't be right. Especially when you show the cost, you know. It can't be right, and this and that. Well, it's not right or wrong. It's what the Lord gave us to share. It's what's of Him. It is not about evangelizing the whole world. It's about Christ being formed in us. And I would say that there's a little danger in evangelizing the whole world without Christ being formed in you, because you're going to communicate something else, and they will, you know, they'll say they've evangelized the world, like we saw when we were missionaries, and they would come, a church from so-and-so, Tennessee or whatever, would come sweeping in, and then they would have a revival, and we would watch the same people go down to get saved, but they wouldn't know they're the same people, you know. But they're, you know, they're listening to somebody that looks professional and all this kind of stuff, and then they take pictures of it and send it back to their church and go, look, we had a huge revival. And I'm going, they didn't get it, you know. Either they already had it or they didn't get it. And then when they were gone, we stayed there because we were missionaries. So, looked upon as wayward and deceived. Oh, I wrote, there's an easy way out. Just preach. Just don't preach what's important to Jesus. Just don't preach that. Just, you know, you can go on radio stations and listen to preachers, and they'll have really upbeat, I mean, you know, I'm sorry I'm hitting all this stuff. I'm not trying to, but I have been around altar calls my whole life also since I've been saved, and I have seen that the prophet that has come to visit the church to minister, they'll have people lined up, and they'll go down the line, and every one of them is, the Lord is going to bless you. The Lord is going to use you. Oh, the Lord's going to provide that finances that you need. Oh, da 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 da. Well, the prophets that were in the Bible, you didn't hear all that. You know, it wasn't all that stuff. It was like, I need you to be with me, you know. I need you to be the Lord. I need you to, you know, lay down your life, whatever. But it starts there. It starts with a heart. It always starts with a heart. It always starts with the heart. And God can work with you if you have a heart. If you just say, Lord, I want you. I'm nothing like this. You know, that's a good start, amen? It's a good start. I'm nothing like this, but I do want you. And, you know, most people wouldn't do this. But I would say, Lord, I challenge you to see if you can change something as messed up as me. People go, well, that's blasphemy or whatever. And, you know, God's going to strike you down. Or he's going to go, okay, buddy, I'm coming. You know what I mean? I'm coming. And, well, you just got put in the front of the line. You understand what I mean when I say that? When you said that, he goes, okay, move him to the front of the line. We got a challenge here. He doesn't think, me, God can't do this. And I'm going, get me, Lord, get me. You know? Hallelujah. So, yeah, we were talking about Mallory lip-synced the name Jeremiah, and I think Jeremiah is just such a wonderful example of this. And I will tell you, some of you that have been around for a while know my heart for Jeremiah, and that was because when I was in Bible school, God opened not just the book of Jeremiah, he opened Jeremiah to me, and he showed me a true son of God, what a son of God should be like, how he should be, and how strong in the face of everything. But he wasn't that way when he started. And so let me read for you Jeremiah 1. You can read along if you want, but it's verse 1 through 9 to begin with. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Notice, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah as if somebody is announcing. Then Jeremiah says, excuse me, I can handle this. Then the Lord came unto me. Okay. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before, listen to the Lord speaking. This is what God said to him when he was so young. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. See, do we believe that? I mean, that he really knew us before we were even formed in the belly? Do we think that there is that much care, that much notice? And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Okay, so there it is. Does that remind you of anybody else? Moses, same thing. That's a good sign from these guys. It means that they really understand the seriousness and the, you know, of what God is about to do with them. And, I mean, I remember when I was a Bible school student, and then I graduated, and Deb and I got married right after we graduated. Was it after or before or during? I think it was right after, wasn't it? Yeah, it was right after. And the elders came to me, we're graduated, the whole world is before us, we're going to serve God, you know, came to me, stood there in front of me and said, Randy, we've been praying, and we think the Lord showed us that you and Debbie, after you get married, are supposed to go to the mission field. Of course, I was like, who are you talking to? No, but I, you know, it's like, and I said something like, you know, I just graduated. I don't have all this in me yet. It's like parts and stuff. And they said, well, we feel like we've heard from the Lord. They didn't force it, but they just let me know. And so they said, pray about it. And I prayed about it. And I went, yeah, we talked about it. And Deb said, we're going, Randy. Not really, she didn't. And you know, I went there with a portfolio of like 12 sermons. I thought I was ready. I did. I thought I was ready. I didn't know I was going to be pastoring 2 to 3 churches, ministering in the jail, ministering at the poor farm where people are dumped, and they'll die within the week usually because they're poor and they can't pay for their medical needs or whatever. And that 12 sermons would not last me 2 weeks, you know. And it's the best thing ever happened to me. I'm going, what am I supposed to do now? I mean, you'd think that you would go, oh, yeah, I have a living relationship with God, and he's going to show me what, well, he did. He came through, and it, you know, and for 2 years until they ran us out because they went communist. But, you know, I remember that feeling of being so young and so, you know, I was hoping maybe I could, you know, get in a ministry in a church somewhere and kind of grow, you know, kind of grow a little bit. The Lord said, nope, if you're going to grow, you're going to do it on the mission field. Whoopee! So, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. What? Why would God say that? Let me ask you a question. Is he basically a child? Yeah, he is. Why would God say not, I'm a child? Because that's your crutch. I mean, it doesn't have to be a child. It can be anything, you know. But that's your crutch, you know. That's where you're going to back off and not be ready to carry what the Lord gives you in the sense of knowing that he will not only give it to you, he'll bring it forth in you. He will the one who formed you in the womb will form you in his image. Amen. Come on, Dennis, give me an amen. Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Okay, well, it's one thing to know you're going to go to everywhere he sends you. You're not worried about that per se, unless it's expensive. What you're worried about is what's going to happen when I get there. And that's where, if you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't have it figured out, and you don't know everything already, you're perfect. You're perfect. Because he is the great I Am. He'll be your peace if you're not peaceful. He'll be your hope. He'll be your the bread of life. He'll be all of these things. But if you've got, you know, if you've got a big old bag over here with a loaf of bread in it and, you know, some music to calm you down so you're peaceful and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, well, you're stunting your growth. You say, no, I'm pushing myself ahead. No. You're better off not knowing, admitting it, looking to Him with a little bit of fear and doubt and, you know, being a little bit scared and saying, because I like the intro to that. I formed you. You, pointing to you, you know. I formed you. I mean, can you see the Lord doing that to Jeremiah? You're going, I get it. Okay. You know. Meaning, I did the physical. I can do the spiritual. I brought you into existence. I can bring you into my existence. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. You know, I mean, I'm thankful we have a Bible school, but I'm not trying to, you know, whatever, but I know that there are Bible schools that exist that they try to put it all in you so that you feel confident when you go out and, you know, you could march right into a church and you've got their manual that's got 250 sermons already prepared. You know, or you're part of a denomination and they send every week or every month the book that you have to go by. And you just go, okay, turn to page 7. I'm getting this the same time you are and read it to the people, you know. But I'm telling you that once you pass through that, you will forever and ever be thankful that you didn't have it together and you didn't know what to do and you were scared on certain levels and you had doubts about yourself and all of that. Let me tell you, if you really want the Lord above the ministry, then He's going to see to it. Now that and the Holy Spirit, that's your preparation. I put Jesus in you. And I will form Jesus in you. Amen. He's in you. I'll form Him in you. And you have to get to a place where you go, okay. You know, there's a saying in Texas, I am not going to give that no never mind. Meaning, I'm not going to pay attention to that anymore. You heard that saying before, Deb? Are you a Texas chick? What is the deal with you? No, never mind. Anyway, I'm not going to focus on my lack because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? So I'm going to focus on God because that's... Okay, we say, well, I can't focus on God because I'm messed up. You know? I need to focus on getting me somewhere or whatever. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you say, well, how do I get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you know, one of the things that I did and I do and I know I'll do to my dying day is I keep my ugly little nose in the Word of God. The Word of God. And I don't understand every verse. I understand a lot more now because of the path that I took. A lot more. And it's life and it's Jesus. And it can take you when you're down and out, when you're beaten to a pulp, when you're in tears and you don't know what to do. It can take you from being just a seething lump of flesh to an earthen vessel that contains a treasure, the treasure. He's the treasure. You're not the treasure. I'm not the treasure. You say, well, I'm so earthen. I know, you're an earthen vessel. He'd already told you that. Stop arguing with that. Quit trying to be a gold vessel with expensive diamonds all or jewels, you know. Well, I'm more pretty than Jesus. You know what I mean? Putting all of that aside and just saying, because like when we were in Bible school, I mean, Deb will tell you this, and I was in the Word all the time. All the time. We'd walk the halls. I'm in the Word. We'd stop at, she would walk me to my classroom. We'd be standing there, and I'd go in that classroom, and she'd go in another one, but we'd be waiting, you know, before the bell rings or when the bell rings, and she'd run off, and I'd go in, and I'd be standing there at the door sharing the Word with her. I had my Bible in hand all the time. And when I didn't have my Bible, when I didn't have my sword, I had my dagger, my little Bible in my pocket, and just sit there, even during class. I mean, I do it to this day. I listen to the sermons. People think, well, you couldn't possibly. Do you ever notice when something comes up? I pop up and say, well, that's so and so, whatever. You know, I'm paying attention. But I'm soaking too. I just want the Lord, and I want Him to be life, and I want Him to be what He wants to be, and I don't even fully know what that is. I mean, can you say that you know what He wants you to be? No, you can't. Not fully. You can say, I have a call on my life. You can even know that, you know, well, one day I'm going to go to China. Okay, that's fine. I think at one point we thought maybe we might go to China, and we didn't. We went to a foreign land called New Creation Fellowship. So anyway, say not. I mean, this is the Lord talking. Don't stop using those crutches. Stop just continually falling back, you know, as if you're not in the same place with the Lord. You know, well, I don't feel it. It's not a feeling. Stop going by feelings. Walk by faith, not by sight. Right? You walk by faith and not by sight. Well, when I look at myself, okay, there's your problem right there. There's your problem. Because you're either going to be down on yourself, or you're going to think that you're that golden cup that Jesus wants to dwell in. That kind of vessel. And you're neither. You're in love with Jesus. And what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall it be persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? Or I am persuaded that none of these things shall separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So do you think that He loves, but if you mess up, He doesn't love anymore? I can understand people feeling that way. I can understand that. I can. But that scripture just declared that his love doesn't change, because He is love. See, with us in this world, you can run into a bunch of people that will eventually not love you anymore because, you know, well, you weren't there for me, or you didn't do this, or you, whatever. It doesn't matter. The deal is that you are being trained in the flesh to assume that you're not going to be loved anymore. But with Him, it's not something He's doing. God is love. The Father is love with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit with Jesus. They are love, you know. The Bible doesn't say they're peace. The Bible doesn't say there's so many things that we want but they are love. And once, you know, there's certain things that you just have to, I mean, I was raised in an orphanage. There's certain things you just have to get to a place where you go, you know what? You know, because you've doubted, and then I'm back, and then you doubt, and then I'm back. Anybody been through that circus? It's a three-ring circus, I'm telling you. But you get to a place where you go, you know what? He is love. You don't even have to be able to say, he loves me. You just know that he is love. He's love. This is what he is. This is what he does. And this is what he wants to do in our life. Because if he's in our life, then that's going to start manifesting through us as earthen vessels. So why am I still earthen? Why have I still got these problems? Why does the vessel have to be so messed up? So that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. That's what it says. That's what the scripture says. That's what it declares, so that we can quit looking at ourselves, quit fretting over what we're not, and start glorifying him over what he is. You know? Well, you didn't know you were going to get a rah-rah today. It's Jeremiah's fault because of what he said. I cannot speak, for I'm a child. The Lord said, say not, I'm a child. I don't want to hear that. Well, I can't do it. I'm messed up. Say not, you're messed up. I can't do that. Don't say that. Whatever your list is. And in some cases, they are an excuse. I think it was a little bit of an excuse for Jeremiah, because he probably was, you know, what the heck's going on here? This is the living God speaking to me. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. What a statement. What a glorious statement for God to be able to say that to you. And by the way, this is the word of God to you also. It's not just to, well, God spoke that to Jeremiah. Yeah, but he put it in a book, and then you get to read it and go and hear God's voice say, you know, say not. And be not afraid of their faces. Okay, so that's, if you're going to be a preacher on any level, you got to learn that. If you're going to talk with people one-on-one, you got to learn that. You know, if you're going to witness, you got to learn that. Because not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's not going to think you're the second coming yourself. You know? So you be prepared for it. How do you be prepared? Well, you assume that there's going to be some faces. You know what I mean? You assume, go ahead and assume that, because be not afraid of their faces means their faces are not always going to look happy or whatever. You know. I have so many stories along that line, because, you know, every time you preach, you know, even here tonight, you know, it's like, I can't do it anymore. No, but I mean, it's just, you know, he gives us the reason, though. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Okay, so that's encouraging, and it's also a little bothersome. Can't get amen, because if he's going to deliver you, it means something's going to go bad in the situation. It's going to be more than a face looking kind of, I don't like that. You know, he's going to have to deliver you. But he will. And it's good for you. because you learn to trust more and more every situation, every little thing. You know, you gather them up, you know. It's like an Easter basket, except he doesn't believe in them. You gather those up and you put them all in there every time it happens. But what happens is that most Christians that I know, not necessarily from this fellowship, but most Christians that I know, they have God divinely intervene in some way, and they know it's God, and it's just wonderful. But they start getting, the further they get away from it, the more that they want God to do a similar thing again. Do that. Well, the point is, let him do it two or three times so that you eventually go, you know what, this is the way God is. Instead of, do it every time. I need it. I need you to do that because I can't hold on to it past, you know, the bathroom door. For I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Not saith Randy. Not saith any of the other preachers around here. But saith the Lord. And you have to learn there's a real person. There's a real God. There's a real person. And we're dealing with a real Father. Not a Father, you know, religiously, oh, Father, you know. But run to your Father. I didn't have a Father. I didn't have a Father. Didn't have one on any level. He left when I was like, I don't know, 3 years old or something younger than that. And I had to learn, well, I mean, the circumstances said to me, well, you don't have a father because he didn't want you, so he left. And then I got a stepfather, and he was just mean to us because we weren't his kids. And then I'm a Christian, and the Bible says, our Father. And I'm like, how do I deal with this? Well, you know, deal with it like I did, or any way that you feel led of God. I dealt with it by saying, I don't know how to relate to you. I want to know you as Father. I think I need that, not just because of my situation, but because that's why you're a Father. And we need that. And so I need you to help me into this relationship so that when things happen, and I don't mean bad things, when anything happens, when I'm reading the word and go, huh, I wonder what that means. Father, I know that you're, you know, this is your desire above my desire. You want me to be with you and you want me to know what this means, you know. And the same with the Holy Spirit, same with Jesus. But Jesus is on the inside of us in that sense. But I mean, the Holy Spirit. If you're searching the Word, you're wanting to see Jesus there, the Holy Spirit's right there. He's in you. He's not even beside you. But the way he feels with me, and many times it's like looking over my shoulder, you know. And I go, what does this mean? You know, kind of like baby cakes does me. You know that there's a real person there that's your Father. And wouldn't it be a shame to have a real Father that you never plugged into, but he was the best Father that could ever be, and you never plugged into because religion always sort of spoke of him as, you know, well, when you pray, pray this. Our Father, which art, and everybody starts, and can you hear the voices? Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is that? There's no relating on that at all. Father, it's your kingdom. And when it comes in me, your will is going to be done. You know what I mean? You start grabbing stuff. You know, oh boy. You know, instead of Easter eggs, you're grabbing the Father's heart on these different levels. And it... Who can describe with words the difference it makes to not just worship Jesus far off and then know that there's a Father, but he's pretty much useless to me because he's Jesus' Father? That's the way we look at it. And then there's the Holy Spirit, who is dying to just open the word for you. There's no respecter of persons on that with him. There's not. Thank God. Because I wouldn't have been one. I still wouldn't be one that I or anybody else would think. But he does. It's his heart. It's not my heart. It's not the condition of my heart. It is, if I ask sincerely, without being pro-self and going, hey, get me this and get me that, Holy Spirit. If I ask sincerely, in the sense of, I sincerely believe that you want this. You want to open the Word. You want the light of life to shine and then fill. You know? I mean, loving means I want to be filled. I want to be filled. I want you. And you think about that a lot. You don't have to go, well, let's see. I think I should think about, No. There's certain aspects of this that you just, lack only means a new prayer, a new talking to your Father. And I told people years ago, and I need to quit rambling like I'm doing, but I told people years ago, I said, I don't pray. I don't pray. I talk to my Father, or I talk to the Holy Spirit, or I talk to Jesus, but I don't pray. I mean, I don't go, well, I need to pray. They're right here. You know what I mean? The Father's right here. The Son is right here. The Holy Spirit is right here. And I just talk to Him. I don't think that He demands there be an amen at the end of my conversation with Him. I mean, can you imagine every time, well, you do it when I preach. But anyway, that's another thing. Amen. But, it's not a religious thing to me. It's a relational thing to me. It's an important relationship thing to me. I want that filling up. And there is the reality that more and more Christ is being formed in us. Okay, we're being filled up. But there's also a reality, guess what? That sometimes things weren't going so good and you just need to plug back in. Amen? I mean, it's like, where shall I go? Well, I'll go to God in prayer. Almighty God. And I'm not trying to make fun, but I am trying to make a point strong enough to say, you can say Almighty God, but I'm trying to think of how that scripture says. No man saith Jesus is Lord without something like that. Anyway, look it up. I'm sure you'll find it. It's either good or I'm stupid. But anyway. All right. So let's finish this Jeremiah thing here because we're real close. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Okay. Well, guess what? He still does stuff like that. I mean, I think a couple of Sundays back, I preached and a bunch of people came forward. And then the Lord told me, lay your hands on them because it says to lay hands on them. But it's not, I cannot tell you how many people I've gotten filled with the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, which the scripture says that they receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. I lay my hands on them. But I tell them every time, it's not something in me coming into you. It's a point of faith that you believe for whatever. In this case, I put forth thy hand and touch my mouth. He put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said Behold, I put my words in your mouth. What a great feel that is. And here's what I mean by that. He didn't go, okay, then the Lord put forth his hand. Well, you're going to speak. I command, speak whatsoever I have commanded thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. He didn't put forth his hand and go like this. He shut my mouth. He didn't open it. Put forth his hand on my mouth. Try talking with God's hand over your mouth. You go, well, what's the point of that? While he's doing it. Okay, I don't get this, Lord. What? I couldn't hear you. I don't get this. You start by not opening your mouth, and then I'll fill it. But then you open your mouth, and then you have faith, and then reality comes instead of some sort of a miracle or some sort of a feeling or earthly feeling, it felt so good when God touched me, or whatever. It is reality. Reality. If it's not reality, then you're just wasting your time. And that's a fact. If it's not reality, it has to be reality. It has to come of life. Everything does. So, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. All right, one more part. This is chapter 20, starting with verse 7. And I got to do it quick. Okay. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. We'll read verses 7 through 11. Or we'll go to 7:11. Okay. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. This is Jeremiah talking to God. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. So he is talking about years later or however long later he's talking about, he's speaking. And he's saying, negative stuff is happening. Okay? And that's probably, the great stumbling block for most of us, because we think that if we obey God and we do his ministry, everything's going to go right and good and fair and wonderful. So Jeremiah is confused, and he's in derision over all this negative reaction that's happening back to him. Verse 9, then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. What do you think of that? I will not make mention of him, or speak any more in his name. Now, I've done that. I have. I've had it. I ain't going to do this anymore. And about the same thing happened. He says, I don't want to talk. I don't want to, all it does is cause trouble. But his word was in my heart. His word was in my heart. Oh my God. Thanks for the hands on the lips, baby. Hearkening back. Bless you. Because the word, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, meaning holding back. I could not stay. I could not stay in that place. So are there rough times? Yes. Are there meant to be rough times? Yes. You're not worth your weight if you're not able to, to be with the Lord in the worst of situations. Because Because they will. There's rough situations. There are rough situations. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you because I know. I'm telling you because I really know. And you know, but like at this point, it's not even faith that rises. It's not even faith. It's him. It's just him. You know, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to mention him anymore. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jeremiah or me saying that to the Lord? I'm not going to mention you anymore. You know, it's like, all right, go ahead, do what you got to do. But, you know, I'll see you when you come back. You know, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. It was not in his mouth anymore. It was in his bones. It had moved. It had become marrow inside of him. It had become life within his bones. It had become, and that's what we all want. Amen? That's what we all want. We want life, and we want life from the inside, the depths of us. And we want it to be real. But there's a process you got to go through. There's, you know, the early simplicity of it is, don't be afraid of their faces. Learn to be with the Lord. Trust him to deal with that. That may sound easy, but it's hard, but it's not near as hard as getting in this situation, because God wants to know what's inside of you. He wants to know what's inside of you, and he wants what's inside of you to come out. To come out. And to come out with a flare, like a fire. Shut up in my bones. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, that's all meant for us.
Amen.
So they were saying, so let me go ahead and just finish some of the stuff they're saying. For I heard the defaming, he's talking about all those talking bad about him. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, meaning speak. Go ahead, speak, Jeremiah. Report, say they, and we will report it. if you said you're not going to speak, but if you do, we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, meaning everybody that I am familiar with, they're looking for me to fail, to trip up, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed. Maybe he'll be enticed. Maybe he won't. And we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Okay, that's not just, you know, well, if you say it, it's going to come to pass. You know, name it and claim it. You ever heard of name it and claim it? You ever heard of blab it and grab it? No, you probably only get that here. Anyway, so it's a fire in his bones, but he's saying in the middle of them saying, if you report, if you say anything with your mouth, we're going to report it, and then all hell's going to happen. And he says, the Lord is in me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble and they shall not prevail. They shall, you know where you stand. You know where you stand. You know where you stand. By the time you get to that place, you know where you stand.
Amen.
Does that mean you'll never have doubts? No, this is in here to show us stuff can happen. But how beautiful is Jeremiah 27 through 11? How beautiful is that? How incredibly beautiful. And how wonderful if that could explode out of us. You know? Well, that's what we want. So let's just have a quick prayer. Father, we just come and we just love you, and we thank you that you're a father. We thank you that you're the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus said, I go to my father and to your father. We thank you that you jumped in. You had Jesus go ahead and say it. Our Father, which art in heaven. And that's a prayer that you pray, Jesus, because he's your father. You could say my father. It's true. That's included in our father when you said that. And we want to find you, Father, in a manner that would be pleasing to a father to have with one of his own. And so we ask, not because we deserve, because you said we receive not because we ask not, and that we don't get it because we ask to consume it upon our lusts. No, we would love this fire to be in our bones for your sake and for your glory. So, in your timing in each one of us, because we're all at different places spiritually, bring it to remembrance, Holy Spirit. Bring it to remembrance and then breathe on it. Breathe on us and let it become spirit and life. In Jesus' name, amen.